Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today I wanted to move a little further in relation to a previous episode I did called Stepping into the Gap. The intention of this episode is to talk about radical reinvention, that point where you let go of your past and you decide that you want to achieve a certain vision and you reinvent yourself in order to do it. I've been trying to focus a little bit more on the logistics and the process of moving from that place where you're at now to that place that you want to be. It's that magical sweet spot, that place in between where people seem to need the most help. They're good at visualizing, they're good at meditating, and they have the support and they're ready to move to the next step, but they don't know quite what to do or the attitude that they need, and often will fall into a trap where they accept their old definition of themselves and never move on. And we'll call it radical reinvention. It is very much like revision or dying to the old state. What we're going to talk about is reinventing yourself radically so that you can create your reality. It's in this sweet spot where all things happen. Now, so far, if you followed the podcast, you are mastering your fears and the life principles that hold you back. You're learning to ride out the anxiety and living in line to your vision. Your life is moving in a much more powerful and positive direction. You've created a structure of support, and you've surrounded yourself with people who can help you. That's been my goal, to inspire you to do these things. And as you begin to make progress and take control, you realize you are moving forward without certainty, which is vastly different from living with the certainty of the limitation of your past and your fears. Many of us live in certainty, in a certainty of our own self-doubt. And I want you to move to a state of certainty into your future. Moving forward with uncertainty is what living in the gap is all about. Check out my episode, Stepping into the Gap, where we talk about moving from that place you want to be to where you want to go. It requires a sort of unknown, a mystery, a territory of uncertainty. We've been discussing letting go of the past, letting go of habits and behaviors, thoughts that have dominated people up until now, on several different episodes. The positive shift will take place for you when you begin to create your life from this moment forward by setting up a vision, a point in front of you in the future. This vision, even though it is in the future, is how you live now. In a sense, you live in the present through the concept of yourself as you want to be in the future. That is true reality creation. That is when your habits become a part of your overall personality, and then your future is idealized. Consider the 10-year-old child who decides to become an Olympic athlete, which will be 10 years from the moment he makes this declaration. Having decided this, he now acts consistently with that vision. He begins to train like an Olympic athlete, adopts a diet program that is consistent with it. He builds an exercise routine. He competes in athletic events. He progresses in the sport. He has a coach. He builds his life around his future objective. Therefore, he's able to enter into the next moment in terms of this new concept of himself. That distance between where he is and his goal is what we have been calling the gap. It is the creative arena of the next moment. And ideally, the gap is filled with uncertainty, because the next moment and the next 10 years have not yet happened. So rather than live the next 10 years on the basis of what he learned in the past, the objective of this episode in particular is to help you to begin to take action consistent with your new objective, with the new reality that you're creating. This process is true and accurate for all sorts of objectives. If you want to write a book, what is going to take to write that book? If you want to become a lawyer, what are you going to have to do in order to become a lawyer? If you want to become a public speaker, what actions must you take to become a public speaker? If you want to get an A on that exam, what must you do between now and the test in order to get that A? Now, I know that we talk about in Neville Goddard a lot about living in the end when the wish is fulfilled, in that final moment. And I believe that works absolutely. What it does on one level is inspire you to take certain actions that move you towards that goal. If you think that you're going to simply sit on your couch and do nothing, then you may not be taking advantage of the path that's been laid out for you when you imagined the end. So it's important. I want to talk about this further because there is a paradox. You can simply say you're going to stay in that end point and it's going to happen. But the way it happens is what you do when you step into the gap. What you do is begin to fill your life with actions consistent with the vision rather than actions consistent with what you know, what your assumptions are about the way the world is or the assumption of those who raised you. Oftentimes people will imagine and decide they want to change their reality, but then they end up stuck because they remain in their old state with the same assumptions about the world, the same beliefs about themselves, and nothing happens. You have to find the pearl of great price. It's the art of dying, as Neville Goddard called it. And that art of dying is letting go of the past and moving forward, assuming it's going to happen. So if you know you're going to be a lawyer, you've imagined it, then you go about going to law school and you pass those tests and it becomes a variety of things. You have to radically reinvent yourself. Therefore, the potential Olympic athlete is living in the gap. What motivates the person? What propels this individual forward? While he is living in the gap, there is uncertainty. There's always going to be some uncertainty between the time that you imagine your new reality and the point that you get it. But what keeps him motivated is the focus, the commitment to the vision of becoming an Olympic athlete. The critical motivating factor that propels the individual forward is the repeated commitment to the vision. In other words, he asserts, I'm going to be an Olympic athlete. Or, in present tense, which is better for most, I am an Olympic athlete. I know that a lot of people teach don't talk in the future tense. But I have met people where it is more effective to say, I'm going to be an Olympic athlete. I know that contradicts a little bit with what many people say, but I believe you can say both. Whatever's comfortable for you. If you have resistance when you say, I am an Olympic athlete, at least start by saying, I'm going to be. And eventually you're going to say, I am. Having stated it, the Olympic athlete affirms it, and he now takes action consistent with that declaration. He takes action. Whether he is enthused or not enthused, he takes action. Whether he feels like it or doesn't feel like it, he takes action. He's just trying to live in terms of the statement, that declaration he made as to who he is going to be in the world, which is the same thing as who he is now. When you accept it in the present tense, you don't want to push yourself away from taking actions towards achieving it. So that's why in some cases when people affirm the present tense, well, I don't need to do anything. I'm an Olympic athlete. So there's a tension between those two things. And you must understand the feeling of resistance that you have with each. Some days, he does not feel motivated. Some days, he may actually be frustrated. In fact, most of the time when you're in the gap, it may not be exciting. It may not be exhilarating. It can be frustrating. Being in the gap is often just a lot of hard work, but what makes it possible is to continue as that individual that you must begin to recognize that life is uncertain. So it's not that there is certainty of the outcome. Certainty is not the critical factor, nor is it necessary. In fact, when there is certainty, you have probably plateaued with your training and abilities. The uncertainty is part of the reason you get there. And in that uncertainty with your training and that plateau that you reach, you might have gone as far as you can go. The certainty can be a cue that something has become routine and automatic and is not as challenging as it once was. So to accomplish anything, there's always a definite amount of uncertainty. And it is the willingness to live with that uncertainty with faith that is critical. You can have faith in uncertainty. If you can recognize this and live with this, you have one of the keys to living a successful and fulfilling life. You can start with recognizing that life is uncertain. But recognize that life is uncertain for everyone, not just you. What you have learned by understanding the concepts and completing the exercises I've talked about is that life has a definite amount of uncertainty and anxiety associated with it. More importantly, you know that you can live with it if you keep practicing and keep developing, keep building support structures around you and taking actions aligned with your objectives. You will move beyond uncertainty and become fully engaged in your life. Committing to the vision of your new reality is key, but it is more than just stating you have a vision. Commitment to the vision requires introspection. It requires that you see just how much of your efforts are tied up in the repetition of the past. It requires you to see how much you are locked into the safety and security of repeating past behaviors, such that you don't really commit, but just go through the motions so you can publicly state that you're engaged. This is about appearance of being committed, when in fact you're not, because you are not taking actions consistent with producing the vision. In other words, when you're truly committed, you're likely to be uncomfortable. You're likely to be uncertain. When you're really committed, you're continually looking for what more you can do. What's the next step? It is what test pilots call pushing the envelope. This means you are continuing to get to the edge, continuing to challenge yourself so that you're confronting a certain amount of anxiety, a certain amount of uncertainty. You're beginning to discover extraordinary things about your capacity as a human being to stretch and withstand the anxiety in order to push past it. In one way, committing to the vision is much like risk-taking as opposed to just going through the motions. You know you're not committing when you come face-to-face with your own inclination to backstep or downplay what you're doing because you don't want to run the risk of not succeeding and looking bad. Committing to the vision feels risky because you are continuing to look for what else you can do when you are not sure you can actually do it. Whereas going through the motions is a way of projecting an image to the outside world that you're doing it. Going through the motions means you're more concerned about your public image versus truly committing to the vision by doing everything you can. By doing everything you can, you have an internal focus of commitment. You are acting without regard for how you think others may perceive you, your actions, or your abilities. If you come face to face with your own inclination to backstep or downplay what you're doing, this is when you push forward. We as human beings pride ourselves in our being independent. In fact, it may feel that it is risky to seek the support of others when you're doing this, when you're making this commitment. It is, however, important to get that support in terms of achieving our vision and staying committed. We're not talking about getting the support of everyone. Just the people who can support our actions to get what we want, who can help us to stay committed. While it is important to get the support of others, our culture encourages our independence, which is not consistent with being fully human as you can be, not being as vulnerable as you ought to be, not being as creative as you can be. That is to say, when you begin to really stretch and go for things that are way beyond the mundane and way beyond the ordinary, you begin to discover you can't really do it all on your own. And you can't always sustain the motivation to do it on your own. So in order to live out of a larger vision, you need other people around to support you, to love you, to encourage you, and to keep you going at those times when you're feeling discouraged and when things don't go as planned. First of all, I'm here for you. And I'm telling you right now, I'm encouraging you that you can do it. I don't care what it is. Know that you have one person on your side when I tell you you're going to be able to do this. I love you and you can do this. But there are others in your life that can also support you, I promise, and you will attract them as you open yourself up to this new commitment and you open up yourself to relationships for people that will come into your life. A lot of times it's not necessarily the action, but it's the people that you bring into your life, and that is a sort of action in itself. I meet people that want to achieve a certain goal but are afraid to really interact with anybody. And part of the action is openly accepting people that come into your life that can help you out. I've had so many amazing people that have come into my life that have helped me out and make things easier for me to do, that it's a fundamentally key role that you will have people come into your life. Don't push them away. Assume that people are going to come into your life. Be on the lookout because they're coming. Get the support of others. This isn't to say that you're helpless or dependent. It is to say simply that we as human beings are social creatures, and some of our internal dimensions have to do with courage, but also have to do with compassion, with our capacity for love. The things that emerge within us when we are interacting with other people, taking on a big vision and discovering the value of support, reveals the beauty and significance of support and the tremendous interdependence that exists amongst people. What do you really want? As we discussed earlier, some people are unsure of what their future vision should be. To create your vision and define the future, ask yourself, what do you really want? What are you willing to put your energy into in order to create your life in as powerful and as an imaginative way as it is possible? Next, ask yourself how much you're avoiding commitment until you're certain of success. Because once you learn to commit to the vision, you will see what you can do to live out of that vision. You will always be given answers in this regard. When you live out of the vision, you can abandon non-essential and time-consuming activities, which you often pursue for ulterior reasons and not for the value that they can really bring you. You can begin to let go of all kinds of things you engage in to win people over just for the sake of appearances. You can get past the perfectionistic need to delay and to procrastinate until you're certain of success. You will recognize that much of success is a willingness to commit to the unknown and take it on without any evidence of success. But take it on only because you said you would. When you commit to the unknown, when you act boldly, providence moves with you. By acting boldly, you begin to find all kinds of internal and external resources that weren't there until you were ready to take action. Goethe wrote, "Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid." Former Prime Minister of England, Margaret Thatcher, said, "Stay the course." It is important not to become distracted. Once you've made the commitment, stay the course in your quest to achieve your vision in the face of distractions. I have friends, I have family members, I have people I know on Facebook that make the vision, they make the commitment, and they're so easily distracted. Know that there will be distractions along the way. Distractions are a form of breakdown. You recognize what your reactions were to the distractions, and what your reactions to the reactions were, and how much you may have rationalized or avoided things. This is important to committing to the objective. Handling breakdowns becomes the essence of living in the gap. It means, in part, handling breakdowns and plateaus. In essence, it is what some people call practice. In fact, that's what Zen Buddhists say about life, that life is just a matter of practice. This is a great reminder that life is to be lived. So the distractions are not only a breakdown, but they're a way of getting you sidetracked. The critical thing is to keep focusing on your vision. If it's important to you and you absolutely want to bring it about, you must keep focusing on it all the time, recognizing how distracted you are and how easily you can become distracted. You have to keep pace, your own pace, but keep pace nonetheless. You have to learn from what others are doing, not in terms of envy, but rather what is missing in your own efforts. You can learn from other people without imitating or competing with them. We sometimes fail to recognize that when others are successful, they have learned to do certain things that are available to all human beings. Check out my episode on modeling, which goes into further detail about this. You can ask yourself these questions, you know, what are they doing that you're not doing? What is missing from your own efforts so you can learn to enhance them? This is what you should be asking instead of being envious or making excuses or being reluctant to own your own power. Envy and jealousy are distractions, always. There is a tendency to look at how others are doing. This is especially true if others have a similar vision and appear to be moving toward achieving it at a faster rate. Instead of being diverted or becoming unfocused or jealous and envious, you can use these feelings as a clue or an indicator to ask yourself, what's missing in your own actions? What's missing and what's needed? What else can I do? What is it that I'm not doing that's giving me a sense of powerlessness, which is really at the root of any sort of envy and jealousy that you have? The Feelings of envy or jealousy can generally reflect what is missing and what you need to do. How much are you holding back? How reluctant are you to let go of the past, to let life be as good as it can be? I said as good as it can be because the tendency for most of us is to settle for much, much less. We tend not to own our power, to not feel that good about ourselves. How reluctant are you to accept your intrinsic power, choosing instead, like a victim, to hold on to upsetting memories? In other words, how much are you holding on to the negative past as opposed to the glorious future reality that is available to you? When we think of commitments to the future vision, to the future reality, and about our goals and about living in the gap, it is important to consider results. Results tell you the extent to which you were really engaged in the process, to what extent you were really committed to producing the results. But when the result is not produced, instead of being distressed about it, instead of having a breakdown about it, instead of getting upset about it, the critical thing is to look for what is missing and then introduce it to produce the result. If you haven't gotten the result, that somehow or other something was missing that would have produced the result. Something was missing in your structure to help you achieve the outcome. Something was missing in your skills. Something was missing in the amount of support you had. Something was missing in the sense that you were still holding on to old habits. Perhaps you thought you could find shortcuts and believe that you could get away with taking it, or you thought you could produce the result without really making the effort. Perhaps you thought you could produce the result without really relinquishing the past. Not achieving the result is not that you can't. It's simply a clue that you're not really as committed as you appear to be, or you wanted to appear to be. The ultimate answer isn't so much about getting the results as it is about becoming fully engaged in your life. The significance of the result is simply the ability to measure the extent to which you were fully engaged. The key is to become fully engaged by continuing to make the efforts to achieve the results. It is these efforts, the continuous striving, that radically reinvents you. What we have been discussing throughout my different episodes on the podcast, I've talked about overcoming fears of criticism, letting go of the past, getting unstuck, banishing self-doubt, and gaining confidence to take control of your life. That is really radical reinvention. Radical reinvention is about enabling you to understand how much you were trapped by the past and how much you can begin to function in the world in an empowering way by living out of a future vision of reality. Radical reinvention occurs by living out of your vision for your future reality, grounded in the reality of the world instead of your thoughts, and then listening for opportunities in the reality of the world that relate to your vision, rather than focusing on the personal, which is what keeps the fear and uncertainty and self-doubt alive. The problem for all of us is that we're trapped in this mind of beliefs, which keeps us thinking that the world is the way we see it through the lens of those beliefs, when in fact, that the world is quite a different thing. To the extent that you've learned how to use the knowledge gained from the podcast so far, and you use relaxation techniques from my meditation videos, and by creating a new vision for a future reality and continuing to practice different meditation techniques that work for you, you can begin to design and create the life you want. Now that you understand these things, you can radically reinvent the way in which you function in the world, and you can radically reinvent your reality because you are no longer stuck with the beliefs of the past and no longer sensitive to the reactions of those around you. You can even begin to see how everybody else is trapped by a need to appear a certain way rather than just using their God-given ability we all have to create our reality. Now that you are changing and undergoing radical reinvention, the effect on your relationships will be significant, and not just those closest to you, but everyone who you come in contact with. To the extent you're living out of a creative vision and being fully engaged in your own life, you can empower others by allowing them to be who they are, by listening to them without judging them or criticizing them or trying to control their behavior by giving them advice. What others do or say will reflect who they are. What they do or say is not a reflection of you, nor do you need others to accept you or your approach to living. You can let go of the desire for results and let go of the need to rush things and check things off your list. What Zen adepts call gaining ideas, you can help others become free without controlling them. Instead, allow your vision or the context to determine the results. All you need to do is select the context. In effect, what you need to do is learn the art of not judging yourself or others and only allow yourself merely to be present to your own experience. To do this, just let go of control and recognize that possibility in all good things is neither in controlling nor living out of fearful images of the past, but in relinquishing those images of the past, trusting to your vision, and allowing mystery and the unknown to happen in your life. Trust your vision. Trust your vision and allow mystery and the unknown to occur in your life by letting go of the past and taking action in the now. I keep on saying letting go of the past, and this is because after talking with a number of people recently, I've discovered that the big hiccup and obstacle that they were experiencing in creating their reality is they were stuck in the past. The past was controlling everything for them. Even their vision of the future was colored by the past. So I felt like an overwhelming desire to emphasize this in several episodes. You have to be willing to take a stand even when you're uncertain of your dreams and objectives. You may be really uncertain and yet you have to take a stand. You must take a commitment to a vision. The point is not to wait for certainty, but to create a vision for declaring it. Douglas MacArthur said, "I shall return." John F. Kennedy said, "We will put a man on the moon." Rosa Parks said, "I will not go to the back of the bus." The point is taking a stand and then acting in terms of your declaration in the face of difficulty. Take a stand on the reality you're creating. You act now rather than postponing action for the future. When you think you will be more adequately prepared, there's no waiting. You create your life now. You don't prepare for it. You live it now. You become all you can be now. Today's lecture is the last lecture you're going to give. Today's seminar is the last seminar you're going to give. Today's game is the last game you're going to play. Give it all you got. It was the great revelation I had with my near-death experience that everything I'm doing right now in this moment could be the last time I do it. The last drink of water, the last breath, the last kiss. Give it all you got because you don't know what's going to happen. Don't hold back. Act as if this were the last one you will ever do, so give it everything you possibly can. And having given it all you've got, let go of it and learn from it, but do let go of it. In one way, you will never be adequately prepared. You can keep postponing until you think you have all the necessary resources, which you will never have, which is another form of perfectionistic behavior, which is rooted in some sort of uncertainty based on fear. This has been my biggest problem that I've struggled with is I would wait. Oh, it's not quite ready. I can't quite do it. I waited several years before starting this YouTube channel because I didn't quite have it. Didn't quite look good. Didn't like the way I was presenting it. Took me forever. And I know that some of you have books, pieces of art, songs that you want to create. And it's just not the way you want it. So you postpone it. Make the declaration and act now. You create your reality now. You become all you can be now. Realize that now, and the next moment is all there is. Radical Reinvention, the name of this episode, is giving each moment of the life you've got as if you're going to die tomorrow. Give it all you got. You go all out and give everything you have on the playing field. This is true in sports and this is true in life. The next serve in the tennis match, give it all you got. If it doesn't work out, learn from it and move on to the next serve. But each time you give it all you got. The problem for all of us, and in particular the people who fear failure or making a mistake and looking bad, is that we have this almost instinctive desire not to give it all we have in an attempt to preserve others, to save ourselves for some imaginary event in the future, as if today isn't it. Today, this moment is it. And the more you can live it now and stand by your commitment and overcome this need to preserve yourself, the more you will become all that you can be, radically transforming who you are. Radical reinvention begins when you recognize that as an adult, you no longer live from the past. Instead, you can create, you can invent, you can imagine how your life is going to be. In a way, you're making your life up. You are reinventing your life from this moment. You are creating what you want through your new vision of reality, creating a new life to live from this moment forward. Once you do that, you can live in terms of that future vision in the present moment. You invent it, you design it, and you begin to live out of that picture in your mind, that new vision for yourself. Speaking your vision and living from your vision creates a context or a perspective from which your life begins to transform. Living it and speaking it is done without certainty. You're not going to know for sure, without any guarantees, that you will accomplish what you want. But it's a new way of being in the world. You can still believe without certainty. The belief is even further down. You speak it, you live it, and you do what's necessary to produce it. That's all you can do. You imagine that it's happening now, but you also take the steps to do the thing that you need to do. One problem I have is that when I tell people, you got to imagine it's happening in this moment, for some people, that takes them away from the process of achieving that. They think, well, it's already done. I don't need to do anything. I need to wait for it to happen. And no, that's supposed to inspire you to go back onto that time track that takes you where you want to go. The critical issue is the creation of a new perspective from which to act. This is not so much about you achieving the result. It's critical to give 100% to achieve the results, since it's the effort that taps your potential and gets you past your fears and inhibitions. This is about how you change your life. Changing your life is not about going from the car you own today to driving a Maserati. This is about how to take your car from 10 miles per hour to 50 miles per hour. This is about how to become more of what you are capable of becoming. Not how you can become like somebody else. Inventing it, speaking it, living it, breathing it creates the context from which the results flow. When you focus on what needs to be done and take the actions needed to produce specific results, you move beyond the internal limiting state of mind and your internal concerns and fears. You begin to live in the gap, the place between where you are now and your result. This produces a radical shift from focusing on fears to focusing on action. Focusing on action allows you to listen for opportunities related to the result and allows you to stay conscious so you can respond with increased awareness to the next event. I can say that you can be certain about one thing, that your reality is going to change. And you can be certain that it's going to change based on your vision. But the events that happen between where you're at now and where your reality is created is the gap that will have uncertainty. So this means speaking the vision, committing to it, being willing to put yourself at stake in terms of what you're committed to doing. It's that unknowing that makes it happen. By living your vision, becoming fully engaged, and seeing the world from the perspective of possibilities will empower you and set in motion a self-fulfilling prophecy and ensure the outcome. The idea and the practice of commitment to your vision can relieve fear, anxiety, and self-doubt. Commitment to the vision means shifting attention from your focus on the past to a focus on the reality before you. Commitment to the vision offers you an alternative to how you lived in the world in terms of fear-based habits of the past. It's a new way of being in the world, which enables you to ride out your physical and emotional responses related to fear-producing events and situations. It means seeing each day as an opportunity to express your stand, to live your vision and to empower yourself and other people around you. It's possible, for example, to bypass your thoughts, your feelings, your automatic fears, and patterns of avoidance that now dominate your life. This is where most people who are watching or listening to this are. But you can design a new structure or context as the guiding principle for your life. And since it's the structure or the context which creates the results, not the effort, struggle, or emotion, a new design structure will enable you to produce the results you want in your life, which you have been unable to do up until now because the structure in which you have been operating has been based on the past. I keep on mentioning letting go of the past because so many people are limited by their concepts of the past, the things that have happened in the past. The past, if you look back on it, is always going to tell you that you can't do what you want to do. So we got to let it go. You create your reality by changing the meta concept or the structure or the perspective by which you live, not by changing the contents or the elements of your life. The elements of your life are those factors that can't be changed, like your height, your intelligence, your birth order, the date of your birth. In other words, people are always trying to change the basic elements of their lives or their circumstances rather than focusing their attention on the larger structures from which real change results. Instead of changing yourself or your circumstances, commit to focusing on the structural designs of your life. Focusing on the structural designs of your life sets the stage for taking progressive and incremental steps that will transform your reality. The mission is to create your reality given the particular characteristics that you have to work with, not waiting, but instead by taking action, recognizing that radical reinvention occurs when you begin to live from the stand of your new vision, not from the stand of the past and who you once were. Action is something that Neville Goddard definitely is saying is required in the assumption process in creating a reality. Check out the lecture, God Only Acts. So the key is you are the actor. You're taking actions. The world will change based on those actions. Your actions are also thoughts. They are absolute thoughts. So I'd like to refer to a passage in a speech you probably heard before by Theodore Roosevelt. It's a classic. I have heard it from TED Talks by Mark DeRosa, and I've heard it, Nelson Mandela gave it in one of his speeches. I've heard it, the New Zealand team in 1995 World Cup even mentioned it. He says, "It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Now is the moment for you to take the action towards your vision. I know a lot of people want to create their reality. They have something that they want to bring about in their life, some goal that they want to achieve. And I'm telling you now, it is possible. There is total limitlessness in your life. All things are possible to you. But it may require you to create a vision and then commit to that vision no matter what uncertainty occurs and bring others into it. Be positive about it and commit to that vision no matter what anybody else thinks, and let go of the past. Forget if you failed in the past or if there's some part of your past that tells you this is impossible, because I want you to radically reinvent yourself and to create your reality right now in this moment. Nothing else matters. None of your past matters. I don't care what happened to you, because something terrible happened to all of us in our childhoods. You're going through traumas. You had terrible experiences. People have died in your life. Whatever it is, forget about it, because right now in this moment, you can create that reality for the future. You can commit to it no matter what uncertainty you have, and you can step into the gap and make it happen. You can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com, and welcome to The Reality Revolution.